Senator
Madam
Ortman.
President, Madam
Senator
President,
Ortman.
I move that the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar. Oh, no, I got that wrong. Forgive me, I withdraw that. Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members. I'm new at this.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Today's chaplain is Reverend Dr. David Van Dyke from the House of Hope Presbyterian Church in St. Paul. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Creative Holy One, to whom we pray using many different names, we pause at the opening of this session to take stock of the business before this body and to ask for guidance and wisdom in dealing with it. Today we also pause to honor the memory and service to this state of former Chief Justice Robert Sharon, and we ask for blessings on his family, including his daughter, Senator Kathy Sharon. May all who occupy seats of power and who have been sent here to serve do so in ways that reflect the very best of what this country is about and that further strengthen our common bonds of life and liberty. We acknowledge today the many troubled spots in the world, especially in the Middle East. In all of the world's areas of unrest and trouble, may peaceful responses prevail and the ways of violence be set aside in favor of healthy, constructive, and selfless outcomes. Be with our women and men in uniform serving this country on its front lines of danger. Keep them safe until the day when they may be reunited with their loved ones. Closer to home, we ask that you would bless and strengthen all who seek to serve the common good. For our teachers and police, our social workers and health care providers, our laborers and owners of businesses, and for the whole host of citizen volunteers at every level, without whom our world would be less compassionate than it is. Strengthen this state to be a model among states and an even better home for all her citizens. This is our common prayer. Amen.
The Pledge of Allegiance will be led today by Mr. Dick Carroll, the legislative chair for the ex-POWs. Mr. Carroll is a World War II veteran who served in the Army Air Corps, was a B-24 pilot, and a POW. He received a Purple Heart when he was shot down near Budapest and lives with a bullet lodged in his heart. He is a National Service Officer for the ex-POWs and assists with claims on behalf of ex-POWs and their spouses. Mr. Carroll, will you please lead the Minnesota Senate in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Bach, Benson, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Cohen, Dames, Daley, DeKreif, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Fischbach, Gazelka, Gerlach, Gimsey, Goodwin, Hallhan, Harrington, Hayden, Higgins, Hoffman, Howe, Ingebrigtsen, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Cruz, Kubley, Langseth, Latz, Lilly, Limmer, Laurie, Magnus, Marty, McGuire, Metzen, Michelle, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Olson, Ortman, Pappas, Perry, Peterson, Reinert, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Saxog, Senjum, Sharon, Siebenskoy, Sparks, Stump, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vandeveer, Uyghur, Wolf.
Quorum is present. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam President. I would move that we recess until 1:30 p.m. and that members of the Republican Caucus meet in room 318 at 12:45. There's a room set aside for the DFL caucus as well. That's room 112 at the same time.
Senator Ortman has moved recess until 1:30. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. We are in recess until 1:30. Senator Sanchez-Moreno, the fifth order of business, reports of committees.
Madam President, I move that the committee reports be adopted.
Those committee reports are printed on page 2 of the Senate agenda on Senator Sanchez's motion to adopt. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving to the sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. They are printed on page 2 of the Senate agenda, second reading. Seventh order of business, second reading of House bills. They are printed on page 3 of the Senate agenda, second reading. Under the eighth order of business, introductions and first reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's Senate bill introductions. There are two changes on page 2. Senate file 1600 will be referred to the Finance Committee. And on page 3, Senate file 1610 will be referred to State Government Innovation and Veterans. There is one bill to be read. The Secretary will read.
Senators Ingebrigtsen, Gazelka, Dames, and Carlson introduce Senate file number 1632, a bill for an act relating to natural resources appropriating money from the Outdoor Heritage Fund.
Senate file 1632 will be referred to the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. First reading of Senate bills. Moving to the ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. There are several printed on page 3 of today's Senate agenda. They will be adopted as one motion. On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Those motions are adopted. Senate Resolution 124 will be referred to rules, and it is printed on page 3. We have one more motion, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the appointment withdrawn from the Committee on Education and placed on the confirmation calendar under Senate Rule 8.2, reported in the Journal for January 26, 2012, be returned to the committee from which it was withdrawn.
On that motion, Senator Olson, you're just returning that, you're returning
yes,
that appointment?
The Commissioner of Education appointment.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Remaining under motions and resolutions, moving to the Senate confirmation calendar. We will take up several confirmations. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the report from the Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety reported May 13, 2011, pertaining to the appointment of the Commissioner of Public Safety be taken from the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Limmer.
And, Madam President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety, reported May 13, 2011, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment for the Commissioner of Public Safety, Ramona Doman.
To that motion, Senator Limmer, discussion.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President and members, it truly is my pleasure to recommend the confirmation of Ramona Doman as the next Commissioner of Public Safety. On your desk, you will have a collection of documents regarding her resume, as well as her application for the position, and her Ms. Doman has lengthy experience. As you can tell from her resume, and I personally know her, she's just recently resigned from being the chief of police with the city of Maple Grove that I represent. But during this past experience for nearly 20 years, she's worked in working with the Maple Grove Police Department. She's worked as a captain, a sergeant, as well as a police officer. If you continue to look at her resume, you'll also find that her police work also is involved with outstate police departments. She's been a police officer in the cities of Marshall as well as Glencoe. Her education stretches from an Associate of Arts degree in law enforcement, a Bachelor of Degree in criminal justice, as well as a Master of Arts degree in police leadership, administration, and education from the University of St. Thomas. She also has been a leader in a number of police organizations. She was the immediate past president of the Minnesota Chiefs of Police Association. She was the current chair of the board of the Minnesota Police Officer Standard and Training. She's been the Minnesota representative to the State Association of Chiefs of Police, among many other positions that she's held in her profession. Ramona Doman is well known and respected as an influential leader in Minnesota's law enforcement community. As I being a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, our paths have crossed numerous times whenever public safety has been studied. She's well informed of the sometimes complex conflicts between civil liberties and law enforcement profession, and she certainly is knowledgeable, and she's a practitioner, at least when she was the chief of police in Maple Grove, of the service model of modern-day policing. Having been the chief of police in Maple Grove, she's well known in her community and, might I add, well liked by those who she represented. It's been my pleasure to have known her for nearly 20 years when I had first met her as a new police officer when she started in the city of Maple Grove. And might I add, her appointment today will be the first woman to ever be appointed to the position of the Department of Public Safety, which, as we all know, is a rather strong bastion of a male-dominated profession. Her skills and professionalism have been repeatedly recognized throughout her career. In conclusion, my compliments go to Governor Dayton, who selected Ramona Doman as the next commissioner of the Department of Public Safety. I know from my own personal experience, she will continue to provide the professional, conscientious service the people of Minnesota expects from the state of Minnesota.
Further discussion? Senator Latz.
Madam President, members, I rise in support of confirmation of Commissioner Doman. And not only because she's married to a St. Louis Park police sergeant, although that certainly recommends her as well, but I've known her for a number of years and known of her for longer than that, and have come to respect the work that she has done as Commissioner of Public Safety since she was first appointed to that position about a year or so ago. In the time she has served as commissioner, Ms. Doman has demonstrated a careful competence in the work that she has done. She's demonstrated a willingness to take input from all sides of an issue, and she's dealt with some pretty controversial issues already within her role. And she's demonstrated a willingness to consider all of the viewpoints before she reaches a conclusion and makes a decision as commissioner. She has, based on her background and her experience, shown a deep knowledge of the subject area of public safety. And she came to the office and continues to enjoy respect of her colleagues, both in the law enforcement community and from those outside the law enforcement community who have observed the job that she has done in her time as Commissioner of Public Safety. So I encourage you to support confirmation of Commissioner Dolman. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator Limmer renews his motion that in accordance with the report from the committee... I'm sorry.
Madam President.
I'm sorry. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam
You're
President.
You're so small, I missed
I'm
you.
I'm so small, yes. Thank you very much for that. I, too, rise in support of the confirmation of former Chief Nolan, now Acting Commissioner of Public Safety. I've known her for some time. I've known her to be a member of the and served with her as far as on the Alexandria Technical College, of course, being a graduate from the premier law enforcement training center, as we have all come to know, that of the Alexandria Technical College. I sat on her with on the executive board there, where I believe she still serves in that capacity as well as I do. And knowing her to be a very well-respected law enforcement officer and practitioner in the state of Minnesota, and the professionalism that she's shown over the years, I think says an awful lot. And as Senator Limmer elaborated, she also has and brings with her the rural experience with her to the suburb experience, where she was most recently, and of course now working with folks in the Senate and in House on legislation, that you can count on her for her common sense decisions and common sense leadership in this position. So again, I strongly and urge you support of this confirmation.
Further discussion to Senator Limmer's motion. Senator Limmer renews his motion that in accordance with the report from the Committee on the Judiciary and Public Safety Committee reported May 13, 2011, the Senate, having given it its advice, do now consent and confirm the appointment of Ramona L. Dolman, Commissioner of Public Safety. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Continuing under the Senate confirmation calendar, Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the report from the Committee on Transportation reported February 10, 2011, pertaining to the appointment of Commissioner of Transportation be taken from the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the foregoing report now be adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Transportation reported February 10, 2011, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent and confirm the appointment of Commissioner of Transportation, Tom K. Sorrell Thomas.
To that motion, Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President and members. It is truly my pleasure to recommend the confirmation of Tom Sorrell as the MnDOT Commissioner of Transportation for the state of Minnesota. Commissioner Sorrell has over 30 years of experience and servant leadership within the state and federal government. As you will see by his resume, which is either being passed around now or is on your desks, that the experience is truly extraordinary in the work that he has done both on the federal and state level, and we are very happy to have him in the state of Minnesota to lead our transportation department. As the chair of the Transportation Committee, I've had the pleasure of working with Commissioner Sorrell and his staff over the past year, and I believe that his vision for MnDOT is really headed in the right direction. This became very apparent to me after the end of last session, when I went around the state to visit various MnDOT districts and to talk with employees and to see just what happens at those district levels and to see the work that they do. And I was very much impressed with the initiation of Commissioner Sorrell's vision within the districts and the very hard work that the employees of MnDOT do and the way that they have bought into that vision. They've made it a part of their everyday life and truly have incorporated that as they do every aspect of transportation in the state of Minnesota. It's been very gratifying. His strategic vision for MnDOT promotes leadership, safety, mobility, innovation, and transparency in delivering an economical and sustainable statewide transportation system. Commissioner has led through some very difficult times, including the rebuilding of the I-35W bridge, and he has continuously addressed aging infrastructure issues by implementing innovative improvement strategies and sustainable solutions that will leverage precious transportation and funding dollars. And he just has done some very good work in that, and again, I commend him for it. Commissioner Sorrell is the winner of over 20 transportation and engineering industry awards. One of the key parts of Commissioner Sorrell's strategy has been to reduce deaths on Minnesota roadways, and his efforts with toward zero deaths and the program that is, we have witnessed dramatic declines in the number of traffic fatalities in Minnesota, and some examples are: in 1990, there were 568 fatalities in the state of Minnesota. In 2011, there were 359 fatalities. But that's not good enough for Commissioner Sorrell. He has set a goal of 350 fatalities by 2014. I, for one, believe he'll make that goal and probably surpass it by 2014. I've worked with Commissioner Sorrell and his staff on MnDOT's new approach to corridor planning and collaboration, which is, again, focused on the promotion of traffic safety, the promotion of economic development surrounding traffic and roadway improvements, and in increases in employment and congestion relief. Very meaningful efforts for all of us in the state of Minnesota. I've worked with MnDOT in adding $20 million to the Transportation Economic and Development Fund, which is called the TED Fund, which is used to design and to develop projects and move them up the statewide list by using financial contributions from the private sector. And all through last session and this session, we've heard a lot about partnering with both local units of government and the private sector in order to accomplish our goals, and Commissioner Sorrell has done a terrific job in doing that. In closing, I firmly believe in Commissioner Sorrell's vision, commitment, and dedication to Minnesota's transportation system. I support his confirmation as the Commissioner of Minnesota Department of Transportation, and I would ask for your vote today to confirm Commissioner Sorrell.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. And Madam President, members, I join Chair Gimsey in encouraging everyone to vote to confirm Commissioner Tom Sorrell to the Department of Transportation leadership. Before I forget, Madam Chair, because I support Tom Sorrell so much, I would like to request a roll call vote on this confirmation.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, members, this is I think when the Senate is at its finest moment, when we can come together and recognize authentic leadership in one of our state agencies. I didn't agree a lot with Governor Pawlenty on many issues of policy and politics, but this was one appointment in which I was extremely complimentary of him repeatedly. Governor Pawlenty found Tom Sorrell at a moment when that agency was crying out for a new direction and strong leadership and real ability, competency. It was in a moment of crisis. A tragedy had occurred. The agency was lacking resources. And engineers, who are the backbone of that agency, were leaving in droves. The morale could not have been any lower. And it was a moment in which we really needed to find someone who could help lead us out and rebuild trust with the public, not just for the function of transportation and that agency, but there was a real crisis about our ability to do the basic things we needed to do as a state to provide a basic function of public service in a way that really kept the faith, that was open and collaborative and transparent, that found the best people to do the work of the agency and keep them there and reward them for the right kinds of things. And Tom Sorrell has come and done that, and Governor Dayton recognized that and decided to continue with Tom Sorrell and leadership of the Department of Transportation. As a matter of fact, if you look at the handout, his qualifications and the things he talks about having achieved, because now he's had a number of years to really dig in and demonstrate his confidence, and he continues to enjoy overwhelming support across the state from every sector, everyone I talk to, folks in my part of the state who are really focused on transportation and how it intersects and interacts with quality of life and economic development and mobility and transit for the transportation disadvantaged, folks in greater Minnesota who are really focused on farm to market, who are really focused on small-town economic development, business community, you name it, across the board. And he really does give a focus on his ability to work collaboratively across many of the initiatives that Chair Gimsey articulated and outlined so well, not the least of which is rebuilding the morale with leadership and regaining the public trust. And the data is there to show it, with surveys, with an ombudsman that he put in place. The public support and the numbers are there to back up his accomplishments. The rebuild of the I-35W bridge alone is a crowning achievement. He assembled a fantastic team and did that in an innovative way, in a way that beat surpassed records and really innovated how we procure and engineer and build a bridge for the future that restores confidence, and people think it's a beautiful bridge and a wonderful addition, kind of a way to overcome a really dark moment. The Towards Zero Death program, a phenomenal collaboration, a model which I hope other state agencies are taking a look at, really using data, really using evidence, really using collaboration, really using community building capacity at the community level, and the numbers are there, and the success is fantastic. The Urban Partnership Agreement, again, a phenomenal collaboration, and we turned that in. We pulled that all together in record time. Legislature put its money on the table. The Fed stepped forward. All the agencies collaborated across the board to improve mobility and innovate with technology in the 35W corridor to the southern suburbs and in downtown Minneapolis. Context-sensitive solutions, complete streets, you know, maybe some things that Governor Pawlenty wasn't so crazy about, but Tom Sorrell saw fit to really provide some leadership on some innovative ideas and really followed the demographic trends where they're leading and really responded to the public and what they wanted out of their streets and out of their communities. Maybe some people in this chamber don't necessarily agree with everything Tom Sorrell has initiated around complete streets and what that implies. But he has the strength and the fortitude to provide the leadership and to show the numbers and to show the way that this is something that MnDOT can and should do and do really well. Finding and recruiting a diverse workforce. Again, we get into some pretty dicey political territory, but Tom Sorrell and his team have shown some ability to do that and is enjoying unanimous support in this chamber, I suspect, and again, strong support across a very, very diverse state and very, very diverse stakeholders. Leading the charge on the freight and passenger rail plan, developing a rail plan the likes of which we've never had in this state, really cutting the way, understanding that we need to start planning and visioning for the transportation of the future, even though that's controversial, Madam President. But Tom Sorrell saw fit to really pull together, again, a wide array of stakeholders, and that rail plan received national awards once it got turned in, national awards in its quality, national awards in the process they used to develop that rail plan. So, Madam President, it gives me great pleasure to be able to cast a vote to confirm Tom Sorrell, previously a Governor Pawlenty appointee, presently a Governor Dayton appointee. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Madam Chair. President, Madam President. I'd just like to add some quick comments in support of Commissioner Sorrell. Not only does he have the utmost degree of integrity and always treats everyone very professionally, I've heard that from my colleagues, but also from constituents who work at MnDOT who are so pleased to have him running the Department of Transportation. I'd like to speak just briefly to how responsive Commissioner Sorrell has been to some of the concerns that have come up in my district. After the 35W bridge collapse, obviously the bill to replace aging infrastructure, including our state's fracture-critical bridges, was passed, was overridden. The legislature overrode the gubernatorial veto, and the result was the Hastings Bridge began construction 10 to 15 years earlier than it was supposed to be. And in contrast to the previous commissioner, the Commissioner Sorrell has been so responsive in responding to the needs of the Hastings community as it undertakes the construction of this new bridge and grapples with the challenges facing it. In fact, Representative Denny McNamara and I met with Commissioner Sorrell repeatedly over the issue of cable median barriers and some problems that were occurring following some serious traffic fatalities that were happening just north of the bridge. Commissioner Sorrell found a way to make it happen to install cable median barriers so that we could reduce the number of fatalities that were happening as a result of not having those barriers in the interstate. Also, Commissioner Sorrell actually came to Hastings earlier this summer after I raised concerns with him over the impact that the bridge construction was having on a particular business that's right in the footprint of the bridge construction. He took time out of his really busy schedule to come down, meet with the business owners, talk with them about ways that the agency could help mitigate some of the traffic congestion, and I know that those people in Hastings really appreciated his hands-on responsiveness to the problems that they were facing. So again, as Senator Dibble and Senator Gimsey said, he's been a great advocate for a variety of different programs. I've certainly appreciated his quiet advocacy with Governor Pawlenty for the bonding money that Senator Langseth helped us pass several years back for the for rail projects throughout the state. He was a great proponent of that quietly to Governor Pawlenty, which I think helped result in that money ultimately being passed. So again, I'd just like to add my utmost regards and support for Commissioner Sorrell and look forward to a unanimous vote, I would hope.
Further discussion to Senator Gimsey's motion. Senator Gimsey renews his motion that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Transportation report of February 10, 2011, the Senate having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Thomas K. Sorrell as Commissioner of Transportation. The Secretary will take the roll. Secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes and one nay, the motion does prevail. Continuing under the confirmation calendar, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I move that the report from the Committee on Environmental Natural Resources reported January 26, 2012, pertaining to the appointment of the Commissioner of Natural Resources be taken from the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam President, I move it that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam President, I further move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Environmental and Natural Resources, reported January 26, 2012, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Thomas J. Landwehr as the Commissioner of Natural Resources.
To that motion, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. And members, it is truly my pleasure to support the confirmation of Thomas Landwehr to the position of Commissioner of Natural Resources. Members, the DNR's mission, real quickly, is pretty straightforward. The mission of the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources is to work with citizens to conserve and manage the state's natural resources, to provide outdoor recreation opportunities, and to provide for commercial uses of natural resources in a way that creates a sustainable quality of life. Tom Landwehr was appointed Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources by Governor Dayton on January 6, 2011. Formerly Assistant State Director of the Natural Conservancy, he now oversees the DNR staff of about 2,700 individuals located in St. Paul and outstate Minnesota. Prior to the Nature Conservancy, Mr. Landwehr directed the Ducks Unlimited conservation programs in Minnesota and Iowa. Landwehr approved the work for the DNR from 1982 to 1999, primarily in the wetland wildlife conservation programs. He has a BS and an MS degree in wildlife management and an MBA in finance concentration, all from the University of Minnesota, where he currently is an instructor of course on wetlands and conservation. Tom Landwehr served for 7 years on the Shoreview City Council. So this being elected to a body is something that's somewhat familiar to him. He formerly taught adult hunter education, and he himself is an adult hunter. I know people when they visited with Mr. Landwehr throughout the session and off session, he will talk to you about how many times he's been hunting and fishing with his family, and of course he's also a camper and an angler and just an outdoor enthusiast. Landwehr and his wife Patty have 2 children and they live in Shoreview. Some of the bipartisan issues that Commissioner Landwehr has worked with us carrying the Dayton administration's message that we needed to become a lot more friendly. It was passing and the permitting for growth, passing the AIS for conservation, and passed game and fish for outdoor recreation. Also dealt with the chronic wasting disease, and did a wonderful job addressing it. Commissioner Landwehr has worked closely with the Senate, fellow Environmental Natural Resource Committee members, and myself in upholding the DNR's mission and promoting conservation, outdoor recreation, and growth in a common sense fashion that balances its mission in a bipartisan fashion. House File 1 is evidence of that, Senate File 42, permitting the review, which I happened to be the chief author. The goal of this legislation was to streamline environmental review in the state of Minnesota and permitting, delete overlap and duplication, and allow Minnesota to compete in a regional and national and international basis. We have already heard, members, positive, and I'm sure you have as well, positive outcomes from this legislation. Several businesses have contacted us saying their permits are approved or going to be improved, and without this legislation, they were very doubtful that it would even have occurred. The commissioner worked closely on this issue along with other members of the Dayton administration. We will certainly continue to build on the successes we have in this last session by moving further ahead on streamlining and permitting process, and Commissioner Landwehr is committed to doing that. I look forward to continue these bipartisan reforms and streamlining permitting so the government moves at the speed of commerce, and hope that we have similar collaboration on Senate File 1567, which reforms environmental permit efficiency and environmental review modifications this year. The commissioner has acted on the threat of aquatic invasive species. Members, this is certainly something on the forefront and in the media an awful lot. What we're talking about, of course, is Asian carp and zebra mussels in particular. This is a serious threat, and he has worked with the legislature in a bipartisan fashion to protect our natural resources across the state, and he realizes a sense of urgency in dealing with this issue. We passed a number of policy changes last session, and I believe will help combat the spread of aquatic invasive species. The legislation provided more authority for inspections and enforcement, restricting use of infested waters, and providing education to service providers and the general public. With Commissioners Landwehr's guidance in a bipartisan fashion, we were able to increase AIS funding by 98% over the the previous biennium. 98% members. That just shows you just how seriously he really takes this particular matter. We work closely with Commissioner Landwehr and committee members and stakeholders in developing policies to protect our environment in that regard. Another emerging issue that Commissioner Landwehr dealt with in a very quick fashion was the chronic wasting disease in the whitetail herd. It's also a very serious issue. It was discovered this last year south central Minnesota, for the first time in the Minnesota whitetail population. With the commissioner's help and response, we created a new management area and provided the funds to monitor the situation. That particular endeavor turned out to be very successful, and I'm very pleased to announce, again, with his help and coming up with the funding from this body, we were able to determine that there was only one animal in that area that was infected, and that's a huge issue for the whitetail population and, of course, for the hunters in the state of Minnesota. He's working on some new initiatives. Commissioner Landwehr is actively working on more hunting and land available for hunters through the walk-in access program. This is a program that allows public walk-in access to certain hunting lands. WIA lands will be already enrolled in conservation programs such as the Conservation Reserve Program, commonly referred to as the CRP, or a reinvestment program. The counties that are enrolled in this program are in western and southwestern Minnesota. This will allow for more hunting opportunities for Minnesotans across the state. So Commissioner Landwehr has also been very active with the legacy money that comes from the Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage. A lot of those dollars are designated under his control by the legislature, and has done a wonderful job working with that, and also is going to be participating in the PILT study that was talked about with regards to government agencies paying in lieu of taxes, and he'll be working very, very closely with us. We also have a new program that Commissioner Landwehr supported, and that was the Adopt a WMA. Members, it's very similar to the Adopt a Highway plan, if you will. Adopt a Highway, you see driving along our Minnesota highways and county roads where people adopt, and they actually go out and help clean those particular things, clean those ditches and work on those areas voluntarily. That's a tremendous public-private partnership that we're looking at, where we're going to have actually hunting clubs that are going to come in and actually work with the DNR and actually do the maintenance of those particular areas, and Commissioner Landwehr was very instrumental in getting that as well. So with the future, what's the future for Minnesota? Commissioner Landwehr has committed to the looking and preserving the mining and forest industry of our huge state and provide thousands of jobs. He understands that we need to be proactive in helping these industries and use common sense when it comes to regulation and reviews. Non-ferrous mining members, mining exploration, and coordinated departmental policy on extended rotation forestry are incredibly important to our state, and he has assured us that he is committed to working with these industries and protecting our natural resources while still creating job growth. Again, the aquatic invasive species and mussels in particular areas, again, are going to be something that you're going to hear us talking about this session an awful lot, and he is committed to finding the dollars and taking those dollars from areas that actually pertain to protecting and enhancing our environment. And last but not least is the gray wolf delisting that everybody is very familiar with, I think, in the state of Minnesota. The first time that the gray wolf will be off that D list in many, many years. Commissioner Landwehr is committed to working with stakeholders, that's hunters and trappers in the state of Minnesota, as well as those that certainly love and cherish the wolf as an animal in our environment, and will be working very, very professionally and, again, in a bipartisan fashion to put together a good wolf management plan for the state of Minnesota. Last couple comments that I can make personally about Commissioner Landwehr and my dealings with him over the past couple years is that, folks, we certainly field an awful lot of complaints about different areas of the state of Minnesota government, and the DNR, of course, is one of those areas where we receive a lot of times probably not much praise, however, more criticism, and that has been conveyed to Commissioner Landwehr, and I think also to Governor Dayton. To Governor Dayton's credit, in his travels during the election process, he was committed to northwestern Minnesota, where there was a real tough area there that had some problems working with the DNR. And Commissioner Landwehr, along with the administration, has worked tirelessly and done, I think, made strides in working with the northwestern portion of the state of Minnesota. And he's committed to continue to do that. And this is the type of commissioner I think that when you think about, we as public servants, we actually are public servants, and we are all about service. And I think he has a very good concept of that we actually work for the public, and that has to be somehow turned around by sometimes we talk about the bureaucrats and controlling the different offices. I think that's true in some areas, but the commissioner is very aware of that, working very hard on that to I think bring a little better service in the area of natural resources to the state of Minnesota. So I'm very very pleased to announce the confirmation. Our committee voted unanimously on January 24th in favor of confirmation. Again, I rise in support of Commissioner Tom Landwehr to be confirmed by the Minnesota Senate, and I respectfully ask for your support.
Further discussion to Senator Ingebrigtsen's motion. Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I got to meet Commissioner Landwehr many years ago, and he was a young wildlife biologist located in an office, a little tiny office in Shakopee, and I was a cub reporter for the Shakopee Valley News. And at the time, we were I was covering a story where they were releasing turkeys into the Minnesota River Valley and trying to get them established and introduced back into Minnesota again. And let me tell you, that project has been very successful. We now have a regular hunting season out there with quite a few birds taken. And so I know that he knows what he's doing in getting these projects going. But the one thing I wanted to comment on is how pleased I am that we have a wildlife biologist who is heading the department. But no one is more pleased than my son, who's also a wildlife biologist. In fact, when I told him that a wildlife biologist had been nominated for the position, he was ecstatic because he works in another state. But he said what often happens is they work on the science of managing wildlife and fish, and, you know, fisheries, whatever. And he said, and then the politicians come along and they make policy decisions based on politics. So he's really hoping, members, that we will follow the scientific advice that we hope that Commissioner Landwehr passes on to us, so that we have good science-based policy for our wildlife and fisheries in Minnesota. And so I am pleased to also add my support to Commissioner Landwehr for this position.
Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to add my voice as well to those who are going to vote today to confirm Commissioner Landwehr. If you had to go looking for a commissioner of DNR now, you'd go looking for Tom Landwehr. His background, his professional experience has made him what he is today. He's smart, he's collaborative, he's kind of mellow, but he's no nonsense. He's just exactly the guy we need at the helm today. Thank you.
Further discussion of Senator Ingebrigtsen's motion. Seeing none, Senator Ingebrigtsen renews his motion that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources reported January 26, 2012, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Thomas J. Landwehr, Commissioner of Natural Resources. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Remaining under the Senate confirmation calendar, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the report from the Committee on Energy, Utilities, and Telecommunications reported May 14, 2011, pertaining to the appointments to the Public Utilities Commission be taken from the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the foregoing report now be adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Pursuant to Rule 8.3, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Energy, Utilities, and Telecommunications reported May 14, 2011, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to confirm the appointment of Public Utilities Commission of Ellen Anderson.
To that motion, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President and members. The Public Utilities Commission is a regulatory agency that manages the details of our energy and telecommunication systems in the state. They evaluate and approve projects proposed by utilities to improve or expand our energy and telecom infrastructure, our transmission lines, new projects, long-range plans, citing the list is long and laborious. Over the course of a six-year term, a commissioner will make decisions on thousands of cases that impact how services are delivered and what they will cost the ratepayers of Minnesota. I believe that a PUC commissioner has a tremendous responsibility to all Minnesotans. I believe that the commissioner must provide a balanced outlook regarding energy and telecommunication issues. They must consider the interest of ratepayers and the reliability of a system created and maintained by thousands of dedicated technicians working for hundreds of companies that ensure your homes warm in the winter and bright with light on demand every time. And while we all know the PUC handles telecommunications as well as energy issues, my thoughts going forward are geared more towards the energy side of the commission responsibilities. Members, I believe that a commissioner must not bring to the table prejudices for or against any particular energy type. Commissioners must look at energy through a clear lens, not one tainted by industrial or environmental ideology that would prevent them from honestly considering all power generation options that might strengthen long-term reliability and supply. The governor appoints the commissioners, and it is our job, this Senate's chamber's responsibility, to advise and consent. It's a responsibility we should not take lightly, members. Ultimately, it's our job to determine if the nominees presented to us would carry out the duties of their position to reflect the best interest of the state. Ellen Anderson is a known quantity in this body. She has learned in the law, which is one of the number of considerations the governor may take into account when selecting a nominee. We all know she has broad knowledge of the energy industry as a former senator, energy committee chair, educator, and advocate. Many in this chamber consider her a dear friend, a wonderful mother, and a good wife, and we have watched her family grow. I very much like to confirm former colleagues to administration positions. It is rare when I object to an appointment, but in this case, I cannot support the confirmation of this nominee. Ellen Anderson was a motivated legislator. She served with many of us, and we know her to be extremely passionate with very strong beliefs about how energy resources should be developed. Those same passions also manifest itself into a management style that allowed little room for open discussion and compromise. And in the context of the PUC and regulation of all our utility industries, that deeply concerns me. Her advocacy was well suited for her role in this body, but I do not believe it is appropriate for the commission, and I do not think it would be the best interest of Minnesotans. Over the long term, I do not believe her sitting on the PUC would be beneficial to ratepayers of our state. In committee, we heard her testimony regarding the law and the suggestion that she could set aside her interests for the greater good. We all know our beliefs permeate everything we do, and it is not as simple as flipping a switch. We push the envelope. That is what we do. Utility law is imperfect. In some places, it is downright unintelligible. There is great discretion for the PUC to sort out the law. Competing economic modeling of new projects, carbon offsets, flexible tariffs, environmental costs, all areas with great discretion granted to the PUC so determine. The viability of every new project depends upon which model a commissioner chooses to accept or what cost is assigned to external project values. Looking back to a previous round of PUC commissioner appointments, the current nominee withheld her committee support for three sitting commissioners because of one decision with which she did not agree. One decision based on the subjective, unanimous commission acceptance of one set of cost over another. Now, I believe she has somewhat reconsidered her decision based on the experience she has gained from her time to date on the commission. I respect her for that. I don't hold that one decision against her as a basis for my vote today. Rather, I look at the body of her work. She requested as much in our committee hearing. I look at a public career that has demonized traditional energy sources. I look at derogatory references to, quote, dirty and dangerous fossil fuels or energy cartels that do not reflect well on the nominee. We all know there is always work to be done to move forward. Outright rejection of energy options that built this country and helped foster the highest living standards in the world is irresponsible. And while many agreed with her on various times on big principles to encourage renewable energy, I have deep concerns about her consistent efforts to marginalize traditional sources of energy she is now being expected to regulate. I see a nominee incapable of setting aside her personal beliefs for the greater good because our utility laws do not provide sufficient clarity to prevent someone from imposing an agenda on our energy industries. I believe that when taken in large doses, her interpretation of the law would harm our economy and our Minnesota moving forward. Madam President, members, I do not take joy in opposing this nomination. And I respect those who would disagree, but I just cannot provide my support.
Further discussion, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Contrasted with the earlier conversation and vote we had on Commissioner Sorrell, I think if we fail to confirm Commissioner Anderson, as chair of the Public Utilities Commission, that will be a very dark moment in the Senate. Mr. Chair, members, what is this really about? It's not really about Ellen Anderson. Senator Rosen is correct. She's a dear friend, a former colleague, a wonderful mother. But it's really about what our job is here. It's really to govern and to do the work of the people, and to make sure we have the best people possible in public service who are doing a lot of the work, the detail, fine detail, day-to-day detail on carrying out important functions of government and policy that we can't tend to because we provide the policy direction, and we have folks who carry out the work of the agencies and the commissions to do the daily work. And no one can dispute how well qualified and how hardworking and how diligent and what a student of policy Ellen Anderson is. That is without dispute. Her resume was handed out on the floor, and we see her long career of service in the field of energy and the environment. And it speaks for herself, and she's an attorney, and she knows the law, and she knows it very, very well. And she spent countless hours outside of her responsibility as just simply a senator serving on the committees and coming to the floor, working on the Next Gen Energy Board, Lasard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council, the Legislative and Citizens Commission on Minnesota Resources, Powering the Plains, working on the Midwest Governors Association Regional Energy Negotiation, something that was set up with the support of and participation of previous Governor Tim Pawlenty. As far as jobs and the economy, her commitment and her fidelity to creating jobs and creating the economy of the future is again beyond reproach and without dispute. Serving as the chair of the Green Jobs Council, practically every public comment she made while she was serving to shape policy was about making sure we had a strong economy for the state of Minnesota, a place where people could have good jobs and we could build the jobs of the future. You know, I would ironically agree with everything Senator Rosen said if it were true, but I didn't hear anything that was true in what Senator Rosen said in her characterization of Senator Anderson. This is also about the character someone brings to the job. And again, this is not about Ellen Anderson. This is about a highly qualified, highly competent individual and the characters and the qualities she brings to the job at the Public Utilities Commission. Qualities we know about in her time with us here in the Senate. Of course, we know about the fact that she was very generous, had a very generous and positive and warm, inviting personality. That's a good thing. But we also know about a phenomenal record of accomplishment, many bills to her credit, 18 years as chair, both policy and finance, leading the way on having the critical, crucial discussions we absolutely had to have about energy, and enjoying strong bipartisan support on almost every one of those major accomplishments, with bills being signed by a governor of the different party, a governor of the different party who for quite some time ran around the country bragging about all of these major accomplishments that he made in conjunction with Senator Ellen Anderson until it became unfashionable. And then all of a sudden he was running 180 degrees against his own record and rhetoric, which was really a shame to see because it was something to be proud of and something Minnesota could have been proud of. And we should all be proud of because many of us voted with Ellen Anderson, who worked with us very closely to move and shape and amend and respond to the many, many stakeholders that participated in long, vigorous, difficult debates in committee, in our offices, on the floor of the Senate. She showed tremendous ability to be flexible and understand the realities that were going on in our present economy while still reaching for the future, always doing it in a way that built camaraderie and built consensus and moved our state forward. That's what our state used to do. It was the hallmark of Minnesota. We had vigorous debates. We had strong views on subjects. At the end of the day, we figured out how to amend the bills, amend the policy proposals, find compromise, come together, get the job done, so that we could put the research, we could put the training, we could put the capital, put the supporting industries, put all the infrastructure in place to move the state forward. That's the model that Ellen Anderson followed, following the footsteps of incredible statesmen and leaders of the state of Minnesota. What are we going to do here today? Are we going to simply look backwards, ignore what has caused our state to become so successful? And finally, it's about performance on the job. And again, Ellen Anderson's record on the Public Utilities Commission is beyond reproach. It is exactly what we want on the Public Utilities Commission, particularly in a position of leadership. You all have letters on your desks or in your email inbox or circulated last year in which she communicated clearly, she understands, she now has a new role, which is fidelity to the law and to carry out the policies of the state of Minnesota. And what is the record? Well, let's take a look at the record. 214 votes, I think, almost all of which are unanimous on a body that has a Republican majority. We have letters from her colleagues who say she's an excellent Public Utilities Commission chair, and that they enjoy working for her, and she does a phenomenal job. What else do we need? she's voted in the affirmative on some issues that perhaps the environmental community wouldn't be so thrilled about. But she's considered the evidence, considered the policy, considered the law, considered the best way forward, and has voted in a fashion that upholds the law, upholds her fidelity, upholds her fiduciary responsibility. Madam President and members, I sincerely hope we don't take this step and go down this path. This is a serious responsibility. This is not a political game. This is not about retribution. This is a serious responsibility we have. And this is not about our friend. It's not about Ellen Anderson. She'll be fine. She's going to have a great life, whatever she does. I suspect it's going to be in the field of energy and the environment. She's going to do fantastic things, and Minnesota will be the better for it. But we will have been robbed of a real opportunity. And finally, Madam President, I'll just mention that when my party was in the majority, we confirmed a number of commissioners, including commissioners to the Public Utilities Commission, but a number of commissioners across the board, who were 180 degrees, who didn't have a breadth, couldn't compare a gnat's breadth to the experience that Ellen Anderson has. They fell down in the realm of experience. They had political views, hardline ideological perspectives going on to these bodies, including Public Utilities Commission, that were absolutely contrary to what the majority of folks, the majority of folks had. But they wanted to dig in, they wanted to work hard, they wanted to continue in public service. And they were Governor Pawlenty's appointees, and he had the right to advance the folks he wanted to advance. And we decided to respect that because that's an important function of our democracy and an important function of elections. A couple of folks didn't make the cut after they had spent quite a bit of time on the job and shown some real lacking. But the vast majority of folks, including folks to the Public Utilities Commission, all of Governor Pawlenty's appointees, a quasi-judicial body which we hope to not politicize, were appointed and confirmed. So, Madam President, I sincerely hope we don't rob Minnesota and Minnesotans of the skills and talents of someone who's so amazingly qualified, who can do so much for this commission and its functioning well on behalf of our energy policy and on behalf of the ratepayers of Minnesota. And I really hope we don't do this to this chamber and darken the service that we bring to Minnesota. It will cheapen and darken our solemn responsibility, and it will seriously erode the trust and the relationships that we have inside this chamber, which is also important in terms of our public service and how well we serve the people of Minnesota. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam President. And I also rise to support former Senator Ellen Anderson's confirmation as chair of the Public Utilities Commission. You know, members, as I have approached these confirmation votes, I have always tried to base my decisions on the job that the commissioner was doing and the role and the position that the confirmation was for. Senator Rosen mentioned one of Ellen's votes and other votes that had to do with previous confirmation hearings. You know, members, if we go down this tit for tat on confirmation hearings, the trajectory is losing for the state, and it really will not serve us well in the long run, and governors will have an extremely difficult time having qualified people serve as commissioners if we're just rejecting on a kind of a tit-for-tat basis and somebody else did this, so we're going to make this action. The other question that Senator Rosen has mentioned is advocacy for an energy agenda. Now, as legislators, and senators. Senator Anderson and my energy policies probably seldom intertwined. As a matter of fact, I was one of the three members to vote against one of her major energy policy initiatives that many of you incumbents voted for. Governor Plenty signed it into law. But that doesn't mean that Senator Anderson doesn't deserve to be chair of the PUC, because I disagreed with her on that one initiative. Senator Anderson worked hard to bring collaboration and compromise to these decisions so that she could have votes where only three members disagreed with her, and the governor did sign into law. You know, I think about Senator Anderson's years as a senator from St. Paul in the advocacy for her constituents. I think it's complimentary of the hard work that she did on behalf of those people that live in St. Paul. And while I might not agree with all of it, I think the work was done in the best of motives, always done well, and with the good of the state in mind. Now, the discussion today is about the confirmation of Ellen Anderson as chair of the Public Utilities Commission. And there's no good reason to not confirm her. 99.5% of the votes under her tenure have been unanimous. Only twice has she been on the losing side of votes. Can we not tolerate this small amount of disagreement? Do we have such small tolerance for discussion and debate? Do we not want compromise and collaboration in these utility commissions and other commissioners? I ask you to think about this as you cast your vote. I think Governor Dayton has done a good job with his appointments. I think Ellen Anderson has done a good job in her role as chair of the PUC. And I think she deserves to be confirmed. And I would ask you to vote in the affirmative.
Senator McGuire. I don't believe your microphone's on.
Oh, there. Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, members of the Senate, I'm relatively new to the Senate, but I'm not new to the political atmosphere. I've served 14 years in the House, and now I'm serving in the Senate. And when I got to the Senate, they said, oh, well, now you're in the collegial body, now you're in the body, you know, the upper body. And I said, well, I don't know about that. But, you know, you come here and you get to know each other, and it's a smaller body, so you do. You get to work with each other on a much closer basis. But I must say that today I do not believe we're a very collegial body. This is about a governor being able to appoint a commissioner, and this is a great appointment that he has made in the name of Commissioner Anderson. She's qualified. She's experienced. She knows the issues. And I'm really dismayed at this body that we're not allowing the governor to make the appointments that he wants. But here's what I'm really disappointed at, in that members of this body are saying things that just aren't true about Ellen Anderson. And I've handed out a handout that gives the votes of just several of her bills, but we all know that Senator Anderson, when she was here, worked with all of you. She worked to achieve consensus. She worked collaboratively to get things done and passed the renewable energy standards. Senator Scoy is right. There were three people that voted no, but everybody else supported that bill. In fact, the governor signed it. Governor Pawlenty signed it and then received national recognition for it. So we have, and then on the other side of the handout, there's a bill that was unanimous. Each of these bills had Republican support. Senator Rosen, you were an author on both of those bills that received this one bill received unanimous support. This is about a senator who has always worked collaboratively on issues that she does care about. Yes, she's a wonderful, passionate advocate for the citizens of Minnesota. She cares about them and what is going on with the energy needs of our state. If she's passionate about anything, that is absolutely it. She's passionate for the citizens of the state of Minnesota. I think when we hear what the public is frustrated with us about, they're frustrated about the partisanship that we have. They just want us to get our work done. They want us to make good decisions, and they want us to get our work done. This is about as partisan as it gets. When you know that you have a qualified person, when a governor gets to appoint a person of his own choice, and it's a designated Democrat seat, so he has to appoint a Democrat, and we are fighting this appointment for a person that you've all worked with. This is the really amazing thing. You've all worked with Ellen. You know her. You know she's collaborative. You know she'll do her best to work for the citizens of Minnesota. It's unbelievable to me that you would not approve this confirmation, or that you would not confirm this appointment. So, Madam President and members, I would like a roll call vote on this motion. So after everyone has spoken, I would like a roll call on this.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Senator Saxog.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise in support of Ellen Anderson for Chairman of the Public Utilities Commission. I served with then Senator Anderson as she co-chaired the 07 and 09 Environment and Natural Resources and Energy Budget Bill Conference Committees. Both conference committee reports were approved unanimously. Her most recent Environment and Natural Resource Budget Bill that Senate filed 3275 in 2010 passed 63-4. I'm just here to tell you that Ellen Anderson is a consensus builder. I've seen it. And I recommend her approval as chairman of the Public Utilities Commission. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam President.
Senator Senjum. Senator Senjum, were you still wanting to be recognized? Senator Senjum, did you want to be recognized? You had indicated no. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam President. It's interesting that we thought Senator Senjum wanted to be recognized because I was about to quote from him. In the Capitol Report, Senator Senjum is quoted as saying, any commissioner's confirmation will be based on performance and merits, at least as far as our caucus is concerned. As far as our caucus sees it. And that's exactly what I wanted to talk about today, is address Commissioner Anderson's merit, her experience in the Minnesota Senate, and I want to dig down a little deeper than Senator Dibble did, and her performance as a PUC commissioner. First of all, I passed out her resume. So we could see just by looking at her resume, she's an attorney, she's chaired four major Senate committees, she's very experienced in this issue. Then I want to talk about her record as a senator and as a leader. And it's not just one or two bills that she developed consensus around. It's year after year, bill after bill. The 2010 LCCMR bill passed the Senate 58-6. This was her bill. And the Omnibus Energy and Environment Budget Bill passed the Senate 63-4. In 2009, the LCCMR bill passed the Senate 67-0, and the co-authors included Senator Parasol and Senator Frederickson. Excuse me. In 2009, the Omnibus Energy bill passed the Senate 46-16. A very big one and possibly controversial bill in 2009, the Energy Stimulus Bill, passed the Senate, and the yes votes included Fischbach, Rosen, Roebling, Frederickson, Michelle, Senjum, and Dill. The 2008 LCMR bill passed the Senate. Co-authors included Parasol and Frederickson. The 2008 Green Solutions Act also passed the Senate and was signed by Governor Pawlenty. Senator McGuire already talked about the renewable energy bill that was signed into law by Pawlenty with Senator Rosen as a co-author. The renewable energy standard in 2006, yes votes included Rosen, Michelle, Dill, Neville, and Bellinger. In 2005, the energy omnibus policy bill. You get the idea that over the years, she developed, her omnibus bills were consensus bills that were always signed by Governor Pawlenty. In addition, from 2003 to 2011, there were 24 Senator Anderson bills that featured Julie Rosen as a co-author. During that same period, there were 20 Julie Rosen bills that featured Ellen Anderson as a co-author. They were partners. They were partners, members.
Madam President.
And Senator Rosen called her a visionary leader during one of the floor debates. I'm sorry. Madam President, I guess I still have the floor. Then I wanted to talk about her PUC record. It was mentioned already that out of 221 total votes, 204 of those were unanimous votes. Her record in the last year on the Public Utilities Commission has been as a leader, as the chair, to develop consensus votes as much as possible. Of the six votes in which she was in the minority, one of her co-minority voting members was a Republican. It didn't break down along partisan lines. And I just wanted to give you an example of one of the unanimous votes. Anderson voted with the majority to unanimously approve retrofitting a coal-fired power plant. This was in the Star Tribune just in December. This is hardly demonizing natural power sources, and she's hardly a controversial character. Members, there is no legitimate reason not to confirm our former Senate colleague, Commissioner Ellen Anderson. There is no legitimate reason not to confirm her.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam President, and not to rise in the sense of a point of order, but perhaps just to remind the body that sections 124 and 125 of Mason's do talk about using personalities in debates and referring them to members' names, and I think we just need to be cognizant of that as we move forward in this debate. Thank you,
Senator Senjum. I appreciate the reminder. And if anyone would like to reference those, it would be helpful in further debate. Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Madam President. A few minutes ago when I spoke about the confirmation of Tom Landwehr for Commissioner of DNR, I said if we had to go looking for a commissioner, that's who we'd look for. I think the same thing about the Commissioner of Public Utilities Commission. If we had to go looking today, we'd go looking for Ellen Anderson. She is passionate in her beliefs, but she is collaborative. She will sit at a table all day trying to come to compromise and collaboration to get people all on the same path forward. And we know she's collaborative, as Senator Dibble said. More than 99% of the votes taken in the PUC have been unanimous. Half the body is Democrat, half the body is Republican, with one more Republican than Democrat. So you know that if things are going to get done, there has to be collaboration there, and she's one of those collaborators. She's forward-thinking, but it's through a historical frame of reference. She knows that Minnesotans overwhelmingly approve of the use of clean energy and that using that clean energy will create jobs. She's not extreme. She's right there where the rest of the folks in Minnesota are. And she works in her job passionately and collaboratively, trying to take our state forward. She's also a state national leader on energy and environment, but she still is schooled in the minutiae of her Senate district. She knows what's going on in her schools. She knows what's going on in her neighborhoods. She also knows what's going on in energy issues all around our country. We should be so lucky as to have Ellen Anderson as our Public Utilities Commissioner. What a statement of how good our state is that we have Ellen there. I want to end with just one anecdote about when Ellen chaired the Jobs and Housing Committee way back when, and I was on that committee. And we traditionally met middle of the day, which was fine for most of the issues that we dealt with. But when Ellen became chair, she set in place a series of evening meetings. The first ones she started were about housing issues, because of course the people who wanted to talk to us about the issues they had surrounding their housing were people who worked during the day. They couldn't come to a legislative hearing at 2 in the afternoon or 10 in the morning. So she set in place these hearings in the evening when people who we represent were able to come. And they did come. The room was filled full of people who had come here to talk to their government. And talk they did. And whenever we thought we were winding down, and Ellen would say, is there anybody else who'd want to, give anything, any more advice or information to the committee? A couple of more people would stand up, and they'd come in, and they'd sit down, and they'd talk to their government. Not things that the average Joe on the street had been able to do before. And I'll never forget that day. It was a good one for the state of Minnesota.
Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise to not only oppose what you are proposing, but to also share my disappointment with the actions of the majority party today. I think you are not protecting the power and the privilege of leadership. That is a strong statement, and I do not make it lightly. So please allow me to make this case. A reporter called me a few days before the session. He asked me how I thought the recent, quote, scandal would impact the Democrats this session. I was very careful in my response. I did not want to use this as an occasion to criticize. I said that going through such an experience is very tough. I said it's also humbling. I thought the GOP would want to restore their reputation with the public. I assumed that, based on what I hear all the time in my own community, that they would think the surest and fastest way to restore and repair their relationship with the public is to lead this session with a renewed commitment to bipartisan partnership. I think that's what the people want, and in fact, that is what I had hoped for. Senator Senjum didn't disappoint me on day one. He spoke of us as a family in a way that only he can do. I smiled. I thought that would be his demeanor. And yet, abruptly, things turned. Very soon after those words were spoken, a Rules Committee was convened, and an unprecedented action was taken. The minority party was to cut an amount that resulted in 12 FTEs being let go as of June 1st, and the majority party would not be cutting.
Madam President, point of order. Is this related to the confirmation
calendar?
Excuse
me just a moment. Senator Ortman. For what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to ask if this is related to the confirmation calendar and the matters before the Senate.
Senator Bonhoff, is it related?
Madam President, it is, because in fact what I'm asserting in my remarks is that the rejection of Senator Anderson is a partisan approach, and I am requesting that we look at it from a different perspective. So yes, it is relevant.
Senator Bonhoff, let's get to the point then.
Thank you.
So that we do stay on topic.
Very good. Thank you. I have an election certificate, and I signed up for this job knowing that partisan battles do come with this territory. Yet in my 6 years, one of my strongest commitments has been to reinvent what it means to be an elected official, because I believe the public has moved beyond labels, and we have not kept up. The public expects us to honor the voices of those who voted to put every one of us in this chamber in this role, and that is what we owe them. Whether it's making lopsided cuts affecting our longest-serving staff, or today, a very partisan move, rejecting the confirmation of our colleague, Ellen Anderson. The governor has the right to appoint his commissioners. It is our duty to protect the public interest if we feel as though the person appointed by the governor wouldn't do the job in the best interest of the citizens. Rejecting a confirmation is a serious matter. And I am speaking long, members, because I think it's important. I think it is very serious, and we ought to think about it carefully. I recall during my time there's only been one such rejection. This was made after the person had served in their role for some time and was clearly, questionably able to fulfill an extremely demanding role of leading a troubled agency after a major crisis that Senator Dibble referred to. And, in addition, she happened to be the lieutenant governor. The agency was reeling and new leadership was called for. Tom Sorrell assumed that post, and we have all been served well because of that, and you've all heard that today. Others have spoke of Shira Yecky, who was rejected before my time. Yet I was an involved parent at that time and distinctly remember how Commissioner Yecky answered a question during a large education forum. Someone asked her what would be most effective in making sure our youngest learners who were living in poverty came to kindergarten ready to learn. Commissioner Yecky answered, "Their moms should stay home." The audience gasped. Of course, we all know poor moms don't have that luxury, so the comments seem mean. I wrote a letter to the editor following that forum, and I was not surprised when I learned that this body had rejected her confirmation. And then I think we can all agree that Alice Segrin, a trusted Republican Minnesotan, was the right woman for that job and served us well. Those two rejections are not similar to what is happening today. Ellen is a Minnesotan who served her district and the state with honor for many years. When she assumed the role of commissioner, she pledged to be a consensus builder, not a partisan divider. She has clearly fulfilled that promise in her early Senate days. Her peers speak very highly of her. Ellen pushed us during her tenure to be bold in her approach to energy conservation. She knew by leading in that manner, we would be best able to reach compromise. In fact, as we've said, Governor Pawlenty spoke proudly of her of our pioneering efforts in the renewable energy field. We were one of the first to pass strong standards, and he was most proud of it. In this role, Ellen has promised something different. She's promised to be an effective leader, promised to move beyond ideology and toward consensus resolution. She has, in fact, established an early track record of doing just that. You, the majority party, have been given the trust of the people to lead. Regardless of your actions today, I will not be thwarted in my commitment to serve in a way that is, quote, beyond labels. I ask you to reconsider your actions today. Have compassion in your leadership role and give Commissioner Anderson a chance to do her job. Let her rise or let her fall based on her performance. Ellen served her district well for all those years. I trust Ellen and her statewide role to lead in a way that serves all Minnesotans. Please exemplify the kind of leadership that allows others to grow and develop. Do not take action today that continues to unravel the fabric of trust in government. I know, Senator Rosen, you are a strong leader who has a talent for bringing people together. Please stand tall, reject this practice, and give Commissioner Anderson just a little bit of time.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam President. Like my seatmate, Senator Scoey, Senator Anderson and I didn't always see eye to eye on various policies. And in fact, we maybe even argued about some things sometimes. But I think in the long run, Alan probably voted for most of my bills, and I probably voted for most of Alan's bills. We had a very uniting opportunity when I was on the LCMR with Alan, and we went up to the Iron Range to tour the Hibbing Taconite, and we got there in time to see a blast. And the foreman asked me if I would like to send somebody down into the pit to push the plunger, and I picked Alan, and her along with Senator Vickerman went down into the pit, and I think she actually enjoyed blowing something up. Last year, or 2 years ago, we had a bill that was going to manufacture solar panels on the Iron Range, and today we are actually producing those solar panels, and Senator Anderson at the time put my particular legislation in her omnibus bill, which I guess made her the author of the bill for producing solar panels on the Iron Range. In that particular instance, we certainly got along. And I just want to say that, you know, one of the reasons that governors get to pick commissioners is because the commissioners promote the policies of that governor. But in this particular case, the governor was actually required by statute to pick a Democrat, and he did so. And I think it's wrong to not confirm Alan Anderson today, and I would hope that we do confirm the governor's appointee.
Senator Bach.
Thank you, Madam President. It's a sad day. And I was thinking about how I might express what it feels like to remind some of you what it's like to be in the minority. So I was reviewing the transcript of an event that happened in this chamber on the 28th of February in 2008. And it was the confirmation of the Transportation Commissioner, who had been given a lot of time, had been over 5 years, either the Lieutenant Governor and much of that time the Commissioner of Transportation before that confirmation was taken up. And I was looking through that transcript. I noticed 10 minutes and 45 seconds into it, the senator from Eden Prairie said in part, and I just think, members, that this does not set a good tone for this body going forward for the rest of this session. And 30 minutes and 37 seconds into that debate, the senator from Edina said, and I quote, "This is not a bipartisan act. This is not an olive branch. This is not listening and compromise. This is a power play. And I think it's going to make things more difficult to do this session." And then an hour and 5 minutes into that debate, the senator from Rochester, an elected leader of the Senate, said, and I quote, "It's a sad day. Absolutely a sad day. And if you can't get a little emotional about this, then I don't think you can get emotional. Because what we're doing today is, to one of the finest public servants this state has ever known, is absolutely horrible," unquote. And he goes on to say, "We call this, I think, back home a political execution. This is terrible. Think about what we are doing to the person that has given her life, absolutely her life, to public service. And this is the thanks she gets. As we go forward, let's think about what this moment is all about. Let's think about this session and where this takes us. Because I think this is a watershed event." Members, those aren't my words. Those are words of members of your caucus. Members, I don't believe we've given former Senator, Acting Commissioner Ellen Anderson adequate time to review her performance. I think we owe her that. It seems clear to me that this isn't about a record on the job, this is about something else. I think we would be wise as a state senate to give her some additional time so that we can make a more thorough evaluation of her performance. And for that reason, Madam President, I would move to lay the motion to confirm on the table and ask for a roll call vote.
Senator Bach has made the motion to lay the confirmation on the table and has requested a roll call vote. It is a non-debatable motion. Secretary will take the roll. All those senators voting who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 29 ayes and 37 nays, the motion does not prevail. Further discussion on Senator Marty. The Rosen's motion.
Madam President, on this motion, I'm really troubled by the stuff that's being said outside of here. I was looking over the news reports over the last weekend, and one of them quoted Senator Ortman as saying former Senator Anderson's views on energy issues was extreme and out of line with most Minnesotans. Quote, her work has created some controversy. It makes it difficult to confirm a commissioner who is as controversial as she's been. It said Ortman declined to discuss specifics. I've been hearing the numbers. Madam Chair.
Senator Senyum, for what purpose do you rise?
Madam Chair, I would just perhaps now call a point of order to the mention of names and personalities in the debate. Per Rule 36.2 and Mason's 124 and 125.
Madam President, on that point.
Senator Marty.
How am I supposed to ask Senator Ortman a question if I can't use her name? Do I say the senator sitting next to the guy over there?
Well, Senator Marty, I think the point is, and I'm serious,
I think the point is that
if you are asking someone to yield, obviously you need to use their name. But in the context, you were talking not referencing the name to ask for her to yield, I think is what the point that Senator Senyum is making. And I would like to, if everybody would like to reference 36.2, the member shall speak only to the question under debate and avoid personality. And we have been veering off that today, as Senator Senyum has reminded us several times. And so I would ask, and then there's references about using names in Mason's, and I believe you referenced the number, Senator Senyum, but you are allowed to ask someone to yield, yes, by name, but...
Thank you.
You weren't at that point yet, Senator Martin.
On that point, Madam President, I heard several other people use a number of votes. I think it was 221 votes. I think I heard that Senator Anderson voted in the minority six times as chair of the commission. And Senator Ortman, I guess I would appreciate if you could tell me what the controversy is, where she's being out of touch, out of line. Again, 60% of this commission is Republican. Could you expound on that? If this is a controversial thing, if her views are out of touch, she's been there for a little less than a year, and in all that many votes, she's voting with the Republican majority over and over again. Could you give a little bit of explanation what's controversial, what's out of line with Minnesotans?
Senator Marty, are you asking Senator Ortman to yield?
Madam President, many times over the years we would ask the question without asking the yield first, and she doesn't have to, but yes, Senator Ortman, will you yield? And if so, will you answer the question?
Senator Ortman, will you yield? Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam President, and to Senator Marty. My view is that we agree on a lot here in the Minnesota Senate. In fact, we take far more unanimous votes than we do votes where we disagree. But those disagreements can be very deep and very profound in terms of our philosophical views, and I think that that's probably true with the PUC as well, although I'm no expert on what the PUC does. I would say this, that I have a very great concern for the ratepayers of the state of Minnesota, and I believe that they have a very big burden. Their costs of obtaining utility service has gone up significantly over the last several years, and that is the core of my concern with the confirmation of this particular commissioner.
Further discussion, Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm glad that the senator brought up this issue with ratepayers, and I apologize, Senator Senyum, about using your name. Oh, excuse me. I apologize, Mr. Majority Leader, about using your name. I forgot about the rule. I've only been around here 28 years, so I guess I'm
Senator Pappas,
a newbie. Sorry, Madam Chair. The issue in that same quote about Senator Anderson being controversial, there was also a quote about a tough record for job providers, job creators, and the ratepayers. And I just did want to inform the body that one of the six votes in which Senator Anderson did not vote with the majority was a vote to protect the ratepayers. And she took that vote actually with one of the Republican PUC commissioners. So she is very concerned about the ratepayers. As Senator Tomassoni mentioned, he gave a very good example about Senator Anderson as a job creator. And I do have some examples of her record here in the Senate. In 2007, she authored legislation to help the Rock 10 plant save 500 good-paying jobs after they lost their energy source from the old High Bridge coal plant. The plant was likely to shut down, and the bill created solutions to their energy problem would save the plant. Another initiative, she authored CAR-Z in partnership with Governor Pawlenty to provide incentives to Ford to keep hundreds of jobs at the Ford plant. She's very concerned about that. She authored a stimulus funding bill which weatherized thousands of Minnesota homes, putting many people to work. She authored and funded the Made in Minnesota solar rebate bill in partnership with Senator Tomassoni. When she chaired the jobs committee, she did a great deal to help dislocated and laid off workers to improve their job training opportunities. And in fact, an example is in 2002, she led a bipartisan conference committee which negotiated extended unemployment benefits to thousands of laid off workers at places like Northwest and Finger Hut. So I do think, members, in this debate, it is very important that we set the record straight, that it is not true that Senator Anderson has gone out of her way either to harm the creation of jobs or to harm ratepayers.
Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam President. And members, you know, as I listen to this debate and I hear all the different things that Ellen Anderson has done as a member of this body, I didn't serve with her that long, but I certainly knew her experience on energy issues. And I don't know how we can turn this candidate away when we will be very hard-pressed to find anybody that could even come close to her experience on the PUC. I think I'd go as far to say as she could be the best chair of the PUC that we've ever had in this state, much more experienced than many, many folks that have led that agency before. She teaches the issue. She teaches energy policy at the University of Minnesota. She teaches it at law school. She is asked by people all over the nation to come and speak to her about energy issues. I don't know how many of us here are so qualified in just one issue area that we're asked to speak all over the nation, but I dare to say it's not too many. It's not me, for sure. And she wrote the laws on this issue. She helped to write the laws over the past 18 years. How much more familiar could you get with the laws in energy regulation than Ellen Anderson? And 18 years in the Senate, she devoted her life to that. You know, I feel a little bit insulted by the fact that what was brought up about her is that she's a great mother. I'm sure she's a great mother. But she's got a whole lot more than that. We're not evaluating her motherhood. We're evaluating her role as the chair of the PUC. So I really like to remind people that this that makes it sound like a very sexist issue, quite frankly. So I do think that she has proven herself over and over again, and I just can't see any reason except partisan reasons why she would be rejected. And this is the third day of session. Two of the 3 days have been extremely partisan. Very difficult for me when people ask me, oh, how is the Senate? Isn't the Senate better than the House? Isn't it great? You know, because I served my 3 terms in the Senate, worked there for 10 years, or in the House, I should say. And no, it's not great. With the things that happened last year and the things that are happening this year, and in this appointment particularly, it's way more partisan than I ever found in the House. I'm not proud. I'm not proud anymore to tell people I'm in the Minnesota Senate. I think these kinds of things are the things that make us all look bad. These are kind of things that make politicians all look bad, and it makes us all look partisan. And watching the Senate over the years, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen the Senate do specific specifically partisan things, and I've seen the Democrats and Republicans work together, and I really respected that part of this body. But that's not happening here anymore, and it's a real shame because it really is setting a precedent, a wrong precedent for this institution. Please vote yes on Ellen Anderson's commission.
Senator Rosen renews her motion that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Energy, Utilities, and Telecommunications reported May 14, 2011, the Senate have given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Ellen Anderson, Public Utilities Commission. There has been a roll call. The Secretary requested. The Secretary will take the roll. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 29 ayes and 37 nays, the motion does not prevail. Moving to the 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest.
We have several. Madam President.
I have excuses I need to make. Without objection, the following senator will be excused from today's session. Senator Sharon Allday. Senator Dibble.
Madam President, I'd like to make a motion. Madam President, I'd like to move that the Senate adjourn sine die, and I'd like to request a roll call vote on that.
Senator Dibble has made the motion to adjourn the Senate sine die, and there is
Madam President.
Senator Dibble, there is no debate on the motion to
Thank
adjourn.
You.
Roll call has been requested. Secretary will take the roll on Senator Dibble's motion. It'll just take a moment. They're catching the computer up. Secretary will take the roll on the motion to adjourn. The motion to adjourn sine die. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 15 ayes and 51 nays, the motion does not prevail. Announcements of Senate interest. Senator Dibble.
Madam President, I rise to a point of personal privilege.
State your point, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. There was much made about bringing personalities into the debate today and questioning motive and the like. Madam President, I'm sorry to have seen the traditions of our Senate trampled so egregiously over these last year and a half since the current majority party has taken over, evidenced by majority staff, while we're sitting at the tables in committee, tweeting out disrespectful messages about members during debate. Today, during this debate, Madam President, Senate staff was tweeting out denigrating messages about Commissioner Anderson during our debate. I would hope that admonition about bringing personalities in the debate and about our ability to work together as an institution would hold true for the whole institution, but I guess that's what happens when you get rid of one hardline political operative and just replace them with another hardline political operative. Madam President, time and again, we've seen this chamber and this institution turn into some sort of political playground. Members walking in with insulting buttons, ridiculous insulting buttons designed to, I don't know what, have fun, have a good laugh at our expense. And what happened today was an absolute disgrace to our former colleague, Senator Ellen Anderson, and a shame for the Public Utilities Commission. So my motion was designed simply just to be truthful with the people of Minnesota and just take this whole game out to the campaign trail where we can really engage in partisan fashion instead of using the Senate for that purpose.
Further announcements of Senate interest, and let's keep them to announcements of Senate interest. Senator Harrington, you have something.
Madam President, I just wanted to announce that on Wednesday night, February 1st, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Ordway Center for the Performing Arts, there is the 5th Annual Welcome Back Legislators Reception. Welcome back to St. Paul for all the legislators, and St. Paul would like to see everyone there.
Thank you, Senator Harrington. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. The Education Committee will meet 10 minutes after adjournment.
Further announcements, Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam President. The State Government Innovation and Veterans will not meet today. We will meet on Wednesday.
Further announcements, Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, our colleague, Senator Sharon Anderson, Kathy Anderson, I'm sorry. Senator Kathy Sharon, I'm sorry, I'm upset. Our colleague, Senator Kathy Sharon, is not here to join us today because, as many of you know, her father passed away. He's a former legislator and a former justice of the Supreme Court. And my seatmate here suggested maybe Madam President would ask for a moment of silence in his honor, Robert Sharon.
And Senator Pappas, I believe that that was the intent of Senator Senjum, so we will ask for the senators to rise and observe a moment of silence for Robert Sharon. Thank you, members. Final announcements, Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, the business of the day having been concluded, I would now move that the Senate do stand adjourned until Thursday, February 2nd at 11 o'clock.
Senator Senjum has moved the Senate adjourned until Thursday, February 2nd at 11 o'clock. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. We are adjourned.